Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it is all about test scores in the New York City public school these days. Teachers are complaining about it. Parents are complaining about it. Some parents like it because they think their kids are doing better. So there is a debate going on out there. Mayor Bloomberg is expected to release some great-sounding test score results this afternoon. According to the New York Sun this morning, the scores being released today show a 9 percentage point gain in math citywide versus last year, 9 points. And a 7-point gain on the reading test. The gains are even more remarkable when viewed over the 6-year timeline since Mr. Bloomberg took office. 3/4 of city students now score proficient at math, according to The Sun, up from just 37% in 2000. True. Wow, if true. Now, there are questions about the tests themselves and whether they've been made easier to improve the results, and gifted and talented placements in the city, also in the crosshairs because of tests. They're now based more on standardized tests, and that was supposed to make the G&T programs more diverse, but perhaps are having the opposite effect. With me now, two guests to talk about all these test scores: Pamela Wheaton, director of the website InsideSchools.org, run by the advocacy group Advocates for Children, and Judith Amaro, president of the Community Education Council and a parent leader in District 6 in northern Manhattan. So, Pamela, Judith, welcome to WNYC today. Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
Thanks.
Pamela Wheaton from Inside Schools, a great website that follows each school individually in New York City as well as large policies. Have you seen these new test scores, and do you have an interpretation as to what they mean, these citywide test scores that the mayor is going to tout in a couple of hours?
I actually have not seen the test scores. I've only seen what you saw in the New York Sun. But, of course, at Inside Schools and Advocates for Children, we don't think test scores, you know, tell the whole story. First of all, it could be, you know, as the Sun says and some experts say, perhaps the tests have been made easier. But one thing we can be sure of is that when we visit schools, as we do, as you've said, we visit Inside Schools, goes to every single school in the city, we see that parents are concerned about over-testing, you know, that there's too much, the kids are feeling overwhelmed by the testing, and we feel like perhaps too much stock is being placed on these tests because of, you know, the NCLB law and
No child left behind.
No child left behind, yeah.
Now, if the Sun has got it right here, though, a 9 percentage point gain in math citywide versus last year and a 7-point gain on the reading test, and that 3/4 of city students now score proficient at math, up from 37% in 2002. I mean, if the test scores really measure rough achievement in math, for example, that's a revolution, isn't it?
That's huge. That's huge. Absolutely. Big gains. But we have been seeing in the past few years that the test scores have been going up. I'm curious to see what happened in middle school because they don't break that down. And I'm wondering, because that traditionally has been the weak link in the city schools.
Right. Those eighth grade math scores traditionally,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Did not come up even when the third grade test scores did.
Right. The kids, when they get out of elementary school, big dive in test scores in middle school. So that will be interesting. But, yeah, you're right. It is a big gain, which is one of the reasons it's a little bit suspect. Why is there such a big gain?
Well,
I mean, go ahead.
Judith Amaro, come on in.
As a parent, I feel that if all you're doing in school is test prep, of course the test scores should go up because that's basically all our kids are doing in school is test prep. So
the people who support this approach to education would say the test prep is designed for a mass system like this, 1.2 million kids, where so many of them were failing at the basics in the past, to say, okay, the first thing we have to do as an education system representing the public in the city of New York is get the basics right, get these kids proficient at basic math and reading. And so the mayor came in with that mission 6 years later. Again, if these scores break down to really mean a lot grade by grade, mm-hmm. that would be a remarkable achievement because so many more kids who come from humble circumstances are going to be prepared maybe for college, maybe for the work world. You don't buy it?
No, I think they're prepared to take a test. you know, are we really getting the basics right, or are we getting test taking right? And to me, what I see in the schools is that we're getting test taking right, and kids are basically just doing test prep.
So do you think that it doesn't reflect the fact that they can get this test right, mm-hmm. these tests, does that not reflect on their greater ability to write and to read and to compute in ways that they can take outside the test?
Well, I haven't seen the scores either, but from what I think an education should be, it should be more well-rounded. And what I'm seeing in schools, our kids are really just doing test prep. There's no art, there's no music, not as much as there was before when I grew up.
You've seen a reduction in
art
and music?
Yeah, I've seen a reduction, especially
now. You have kids right now?
Yeah, in the public schools right now.
In District 6?
In District 6. And I've seen a reduction. And I also am around children all the time. So I see the level of conversation and the level of writing that they do. So I'm not completely convinced, not yet.
We originally invited you on, before we knew mm-hmm. these test scores were coming right. out today, to talk about a different kind of standardized test, mm-hmm. the new standardized test that's supposed to determine gifted and talented program admissions. And that's new this year, right?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Now, as I understand it, it was supposed to make G&T less of a de facto segregation tool for mostly white, mostly better off families. Didn't work out that way in the first year?
No, it definitely didn't. I don't see how you can have a uniform exam when you don't have a uniform public school system and you don't have a uniform society. So you can't take one test, especially for gifted and talented. How do you determine by one standardized test what gifted and talented means? I know in my district there was a drop in gifted and talented programs.
Patricia Wheaton from InsideSchools.org, do you want to weigh in on this? Have you been watching this? This is such a conflict between, you know, unfortunately, between parents who were vying for these slots, and there are issues of race, there are issues of class, there are issues of what giftedness actually means, as you heard from some of which from, you know, from Judith.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a blog on Inside Schools, and it has been buzzing. I mean, parents, hundreds and hundreds of comments. It just seems like they just couldn't get it right this year, the Department of Education. I mean, there are these two assessments, and I think the idea was to create equity throughout the city, because up to now, each of the 32 districts has had a disparate way of looking at and evaluating what means, you know, what gifted and talented means. But what happened is that in districts where you traditionally had effective, successful gifted and talented programs, this year, going forward, not enough kids tested into them. So going forward, some of these districts will not have programs. And I think I think it kind of backfired. Parents in certain districts were very happy with the program, and in the future, they're not going to have them. So then what happens in 2 years when maybe kids, in kindergarten do test into a program, then they're going to start it up again? It's curious. And I think, as I said, I think it did kind of backfire. It did not create the equity they would have hoped. I mean, they had to lower the threshold. It was supposed to be, they said, 95 percentile nationwide would be the cutoff for entrance into a district school with a gifted and talented program, and they had to lower that to 90%.
Is there a better way to achieve diversity in gifted and talented programs, or is diversity the wrong goal for the G&Ts?
I think that leaving it, I'm not sure why they took it out of the neighborhood schools exactly, because I think even for the citywide programs, all of three of which are in Manhattan, which is not going to be easy for parents who live in the outer boroughs to get their children there,
mm-hmm.
But I think that they took away the interviews, they took away the on-sites, and I think that on-site evaluations that these schools did, and I think that one way that gifted and talented programs achieve diversity around the city is by, interviews. Not all kids do, especially those who haven't been in pre-K programs, pre-kindergarten programs, not all kids do well on standardized assessments.
Why aren't there gifted and talented programs in every district?
Well, because the system, as you know, Brian, is for, 32 districts. For years, they were run by local school boards, and each district had its own, regulations for what a gifted and talented program would be. But this year, with the new system, they set a cutoff score of 90%. So if you didn't have 10 kids who scored at that cutoff, then the program was closed because how are you going to run, you know, you're not going to have 10 kids in a gifted and talented program.
So Judith Amaro, how is this affecting you and your neighbors in Upper Manhattan?
Well, I think that for District 6 and for minority parents, I personally am not for the gifted and talented program because I feel all children are gifted and talented. And if we would just put more funding and make our schools function better, that our kids would be okay. But I do understand that parents want choice, and gifted and talented is a choice. And District 6 has limited choice. And now we have less choice because we're only going to have two new programs when we used to have five. So, and there wasn't really a big push for parents to apply and that sort of stuff. So,
what do they get that's different in a gifted and talented program from what they get in,
I'm not even sure,
like regular ed? Patricia, Pamela, do you know?
Well, I will go on record also. I'm not necessarily in favor of gifted and talented programs either.
All.
And I think what you need are gifted and talented schools, you know, kids
exactly.
that are doing a good job, and gifted and talented teachers who can work with all the children. But I think, it once again, you have a mismatch, you know, around the city of what's happening. In some districts, it's literally, it's just an accelerated curriculum.
Yes.
So and the first graders are working at a second grade level, you know, who are in these programs. And others, you have some wonderful enrichment opportunities to you know, do more art, perhaps, to integrate, you know, trips to museums and so forth, all those kinds of things into the curriculum. But once again, there's been nothing said about how these new programs will be operated or how teachers, in fact, will be trained.
Is the real point of it, I imagine a lot of parents listening who have kids in gifted and talented programs or who have had them in them, look at them this way, that there is such a high percentage of kids in New York City who come to school not as prepared to learn as a small minority of them do, you know, and we see these test scores. We see kids doing not well on math at, you know, two-thirds of the kids in the system as of a few years ago, not doing math at grade level, just as one indicator. And a lot of kids coming from disadvantaged backgrounds, coming from limited English backgrounds, whatever it is that the parents and the G&T families may feel is going to hold their kids back from learning if they come to school really ready to go. Is there an argument there, in your opinion?
Go ahead, Judith.
No, I can agree with that. I can see that happening. Because, as she just stated, that some of the programs are just accelerated program. And I could understand that, but then that does take away from the diversity of the classroom, because children learn from each other. So I think it takes away if you're just putting one set of kids in a certain group. They're not learning from the other kids that maybe they're bringing other things in, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think classrooms with talented teachers, each child can thrive, and they can. And if you're, you know, gearing the lesson to different learning styles of each child, which a good teacher can do, then I don't think you have to have all kids who are, quote, gifted and talented, unquote. And also, in a lot of these gifted and talented programs, there's one class per school. So then you have 25, 28, 30 kids just with each other, you know, for five or six, you know, school years, and I'm not sure that that's a good idea either.
By the way, on these improved citywide test scores that the mayor is going to be touting this afternoon, here is an email that we got from somebody we were trying to get as a guest, Bruce Fuller, who is an education expert, a professor of education and public policy at UC Berkeley. He says it's very important that we look at last November's federal results for New York City. He says significant progress was made in math, but fairly flat in reading. And he says the federal test is immune from teaching to the test. The Fed set a more demanding bar for proficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that.
So when the mayor gets out there at his news conference this afternoon and says, look how great we're doing, somebody's supposed to say, well, look at the federal test, which maybe wasn't dumbed down for political reasons. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They should do that. People should begin to question and look at these tests very, very carefully and really question whether the progress is what it's being announced to be.
All right. We will see what happens when the mayor announces those scores today. They certainly sound encouraging at the top line, and that being about a 9-point increase over last year in citywide math scores, 7% over last year in citywide reading scores, and up from about 37% of kids doing math at grade level in 2002 to three-quarters of the kids today, at least according to these tests. Pamela Wheaton, Director of Inside Schools, Judith Amaro, President of Community Education Council, the Community Education Council, and a parent leader in District 6. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll talk about Princeton next, which sort of has the opposite problem. It's being investigated by the federal government for perhaps locking out some Asian kids who are at the top of their class so that they could get more diversity into Princeton. Stay with us.